Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Logan Ray of Argon Agency, and today we are discussing building loyalty and company culture. Logan is a marketing professional whose mission is to help businesses achieve new levels of scalable growth. As the founder and owner of the leading storefront marketing resource, Argon Agency, Logan has an extensive background involving social media demand generation, SEO, customer engagement, and revenue optimization. Thanks so much for joining us today, Logan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's delve into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
So we are located in downtown Lake Worth. I'm actually in our office. Right now everyone's at lunch, but it gets pretty hectic in here.
Nice. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Definitely the metrics and seeing how somebody's, business can change from, just educating them on these small little pivots that we can make in our businesses. I always like to see the little guys win and then that scalable growth.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
So it's kind of accidental. My undergraduate degree is actually from FAU and it's in neuroscience. Originally, I wanted to get into medicine. And during that time, I had a mentor who told me, you should check out some of the sub areas. It'll help you a lot in your career. So, finances, marketing, all of those types of areas. So I started taking some classes. I created a company in 2015 that nationalized in about 20 weeks from the product conception. Completely viral. It was called Bacon Boxes. And then from there, I kind of pivoted away from pursuing medicine and more of into marketing.
Okay. Nice. And then, so what is Bacon Boxes exactly? That sounds interesting.
We made bacon roses. It's actually the only product that was certified by the USDA, and we shipped them nationwide. It was kind of
really?
Like, but with bacon.
Okay. That's so cool. And then, so how did Argon Agency come to be?
So I was working in behavioral health at the time, the CMO of a behavioral health group. We had 8 centers. COVID started to happen. I started to notice that some of the quality of care in the centers was decreasing. I brought it to management. We needed a director of operations or a budget to kind of work out those kinks. And it wasn't their focus at the time, which didn't make the facility marketable to me. I kind of parted ways with them and I created Argon Agency just to put some freelance work under originally. I was working with a multimillion-dollar FBA business that manufactured coffee equipment and with a gentleman that created an app. He's an NBA trainer and he was creating a basketball-based app to help children during that time, exercise at home. So,
okay, interesting.
Yeah, so those are like my first 2 projects out of there, and I had already like started those, and then I just ran with it. We actually haven't even gotten the opportunity to start marketing Argon ourselves. The community has kind of come together and really supported us, and we have a tremendous amount of local clients, and it's just
exciting. That's really cool. And do you guys focus on a specific niche, or are you guys pretty broad in your offerings?
So we're broad in our offerings. Being that we're in Florida, majority of the clients are, window and door companies. We also have a lot of addiction treatment centers, which I happen to be like personally passionate about. I find mental health to be an area of this country that we significantly lack in. So being able to work with the centers that are, forward facing, it's always, feels good.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you guys sort of differentiate yourself from other marketing agencies?
So instead of just giving you an a la carte product, project, we try to be more of a CMO and coach you into what you need for your business. We learn your goals. We learn where you see yourself. We learn what's important to you that you're relaying to your target market and what makes, you know, your business different. And then we focus on emphasizing that and using, you know, your budget to scale you appropriately. Whereas I feel most other agencies, you'll come to them and say, I need SEO. And you may not even know what SEO is. You just, somebody told you you needed it. And then you end up investing a crazy amount of money into something that's not giving you a fast enough return. And then, you know, the business goes down, whereas that money could have been used towards paid advertising, or, you know, there's other issues with your website that make it not suitable for SEO, but they're only focusing on certain areas of it. So there's a lot of those types of things. So we're big on coaching, I think, versus just offering a product.
Okay. I love that. So let's delve into our topic now. And to start, we're going to be talking about building loyalty and company culture. So before we delve into that, can you tell us whether your team meets remotely or if you guys are in person?
So we are mostly in person. There have been periods of time where we've been, you know, remote, COVID scares, or, you know, lockdown, that type of thing. And then we have a couple freelancers that we work with, you know, or part-timers that are remote, but everyone else is in-house full-time.
Okay, that's great. And then how would you describe your current company culture?
So I think we're all very close. We're very transparent. I happen to be one of those people that show up very human, and I've been blessed to have a team that supports me, you know, even on the bad days, and they're accepting of, you know, it's not always going to be perfect and pretty, or, you know, the most professional. It's a weird time right now. It's a really weird time.
Yeah.
We've also, you know, at the same time, it supports them when they have their days where it's, you know, things are scary, or they have a family member that they lost from COVID, or something, you know, funky is going on in their life. It just creates more of a trusting environment.
Okay. So you're just overall very trusting and supportive of the people that you work with.
Yeah, mostly. And then we do fun things, lots of team building. So as much time as we spend working hard, getting to know our clients and, you know, doing things for them, we spend time in the field. So we have a boxing gym that we work with. We go and we take classes there together, which is good for us as a team because we're laughing, we're, you know, getting the blood flowing, but we're also getting to know our client and, you know, we're offering to the client. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's kept them motivated too. It's like work perks, extra things to add on to, you know, whatever your salary would be. We end up with a ton of other, you know, other benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. Do your core values play a role in your company culture at all?
I think they do.
And what are your core values?
So I'm big on integrity. I won't cut corners. I think that doing things the right way, even if it's going to take longer or it doesn't yield the same result immediately, I think in the long run, eventually it does end up being rewarding. Mm-hmm. I also agree in transparency. So with us, there's no like smoke screen. We tell our clients exactly what we're doing, and some of them will rush to try to, you know, do things themselves or learn more themselves because they think it's easy. But if they don't have the full process or picture, you know, obviously you're not able to run with it. But that's also why they trust us, because they understand what we're doing, or they see, you know, what's going on, and we don't, you know, we don't hide anything. And then I'm big on loyal to myself. Like, I try to be as loyal to my people, and that's what I expect in return. And it hasn't always, you know, been that way. Like, my team was almost double the size at one point, and we, you know, cut it down because people were coming in and they were abusive of, like, I have a leisure 9 a.m. start time. So I don't want people rushing through traffic. Try to be here at 9 a.m. If you're here at 9:05, I'm not giving you a hard time. It's not a like punch in and I'm counting every second on the clock. You need to get up from your desk and go and take a walk or take a phone call or debrief yourself. No problem. I understand staring at a screen all day is really hard and grueling. There's just a couple of things that are like give and take, and most corporate jobs don't allow for that. I remember I was working at like a grocery store when I was younger, and it's like, you can't check your phone, even if you have an emergency or somebody's, you know, sick in your family, except for on, you know, scheduled breaks. If you need fresh air or if something becomes overwhelming, you can't, you know, take a minute away. You have to stay there. And it's like, I don't think it's conducive for humans.
Mm-hmm. It's not healthy. I agree.
So we try to do things a little bit differently here, and it's, it's helped through a lot of it. Like at one point I had partners and that got, you know, a little bit messy. We ended up moving offices because we just weren't a good fit. They were more of a call center type. We were more of a hands-on service type. Mm-hmm. But my team supported the move and nobody got scared or jumped ship. And on top of that, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So to have people actually support in that way and love their job enough to where it's like, they do put extra hours in if they need to. And they're kind of looking out the same way that I would look out for the client, which I really appreciate because that's hard to find.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. What are your non-negotiables when hiring new staff to ensure they fit with your company culture?
So we learned that sometimes people's portfolios are fake. So that was a fun lesson. And then it's also disrespectful to the rest of your team too. So doing a little bit more due diligence when hiring. So non-negotiable now is I want you to, especially if it's like a photographer, videographer, shoot something in front of me, edit it. Let me see your quality of work. I don't want to see your Instagram or your portfolio because it ended up, you know, I hired someone and ended up not being her portfolio. And then we let her go for a couple of weeks of doing work for us and seeing that like there's something missing. And I'm always the type of person, I'm like, okay, is our equipment not up to par? Are you missing something? You know, did you have something in your last position or role that you were able to produce this quality and now it's lacking? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it took us a couple of weeks, and that's obviously a couple of weeks of pay. That role came in, you know, at a highly paid rate. So that ends up being disrespectful to the rest of my team that may have taken even pay cuts to come on and work with me, which that's the cool thing about this. I've built the structure here to where our core group has been so happy that when they refer people out or when people come into interview that they're willing to take pay cuts from what they're currently making in order to prove themselves in the position and just for the opportunity to like work here now.
Wow. So
that was like the biggest honor to me. I that blew my mind and I was just like, wow, okay, ego. But
that's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, that's what I want. I just want, you spend so much time at work and if it doesn't feel like home or like family, you know, I don't know. I couldn't do it.
I agree. It makes such a huge difference when it's a positive environment. It's just, And then, you know, it just creates that loyalty within your staff, which is what you really want as well. So how do you foster an environment of loyalty within your agency?
So I think it's really important to think about all the times that you've worked jobs that weren't great. Mm-hmm. What about the job made it not great? Was it a stressful environment? Was it the way your boss talked to you? Was it the structure of the day? Was it not having the support in actually fulfilling your role? Which parts of your job were, you know, hindering your success? And how can you come into a role or where have you worked that has made you feel the most valued or cared for? So for me, I ask my staff, I talk to them constantly and try to, get everything, you know, together to where they come in, they know that they have their beverage of choice in the fridge. They have lunch food in case they have to like, you know, they're on a call for too long and they get wrapped up and they have a meeting or they can't run out. So I try to have like comfort items for them or things that they know where they're, you know, they're not going to miss a meal because they're being loyal to me.
Yeah.
Or they're doing their job properly. We order Instacart every Monday. I have a, somebody that comes in and kind of tends to the office so they don't have to worry about, you know, keeping the space super, super clean if they're running around like crazy. You know, somebody else does the floor, somebody else does, you know, the other areas. We're doing yoga twice a week for a little while, but our yoga lady actually upgraded her studio. She's in the middle of getting that together. So once she's back open, we're probably going to have that going on. But it's just kind of listening to what it is and, you know, maintaining, productivity. Like what I always ask them, even in the interview, you know, what makes you most productive in your job? Like what's your dream job? What environment do you need in order to be successful? How do you manage conflict? How do you like to be talked to when there's conflict or criticism? Mm-hmm. Really taking those things into account, it builds the culture. They can come to me, and this is the one thing too that's weird. So I'm 26. It's very rarely that you have, you know, a 26-year-old that's the only leadership in the company. Like I don't, you know, there's no co-founder. I didn't start this off of a ton of investment money. I walked out of a job I wasn't happy with because I wasn't being listened to, and started this because I know that my skill set is there. That's literally the only thing that saved me. Otherwise, I would, you know, I'd be like everyone else and probably unemployed right now.
Yeah.
So I listen to myself. That's, I think, the main thing. I'm sure it even comes to mind, like, you have a bad boss in mind where you worked a job where you weren't respected or cared for. You were just in the assembly line.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so what do you expect from your staff in return? Like, what does loyalty mean to you?
So loyalty to me is making sure that they are fulfilling their role, that one, they understand their role, they understand the importance of it, because every single person on my team is pretty much equally important, and them understanding and knowing the best practices of what they're doing, it matters significantly. So I try to have, you know, them even take company time that's paid to, you know, do education, sign up for the newsletter, or listen to this podcast and make sure that what we're delivering to the clients is, you know, state of the art. It's the newest technology, or it's the newest software, it's the newest method. Take the time to revamp your certifications, and we do a contest, so they get like a bonus, basically, whoever does the most educational things either on company time or in their free time at the end of the month.
Okay.
And I encourage them to,
yeah.
It's like a little perks to kind of keep them motivated and keep them, you know, that's what serves me, is being able to serve the clients. If I had, you know, a bunch of angry clients, or we weren't doing work to the quality, you know, quality that I would deliver, I wouldn't have a company. So, yeah. And I've had that before. Like, I've had people in here that were taking, you know, massive paychecks and promising me the world. And it's like, I look at the quality of the work that came back and I'm like, do you have eyeballs? Like, what you're delivering to me is not what, you know, the client's even asking for. And not even at that, but it's like margins are off or the colors are off. There's no, you know, attention to detail. So even if those things and those traits aren't like nature to you, I try to nurture them into, you know, my employees and tell them, like, here's your checklist. Just keep going over a checklist, making sure you're being diligent. Again, loyalty to me is providing a good product. It's creating happy customers that, you know, are staying. We're not, you know, we don't have a high turnover in clients. We're a small agency. So even losing one of our biggest clients would, you know, it'd be a hit. It'd be hard. So,
yeah, exactly.
And at the same time too, we're selective with who we bring on for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. What are some lessons that you've learned from running your marketing agency?
Again, the frogs. We always call them the frogs. You have to pay attention. And I think this would help a lot of bigger agencies too, or people that are a lot further in their careers and their teams are big. If you have one-on-ones, even with employees, like, you don't know or associate with regularly, because this is what I coach my clients to do. You might be the owner of a treatment center. There's a corporate office, and there's the facility level, and there's behavioral health techs that are in that facility that make, you know, that's the bottom, that's the entry level position. Go and talk to them. How's their job? Do they understand their position? Are they doing what they need to be doing? Because that, for me, that was one of the hardest things too in business. I just kind of walked into this. I didn't know every role or, you know, what's been needed, and we've been creating it as clients have been asking for it.
Right.
So, you know, I've had to learn a lot of things and take it on myself, because, and I always am transparent too with the client on that. It's like, if I haven't done something before, it's like, okay, I've never done that before, but I will dedicate the time to, you know, figuring it out as if you had an in-house person doing it.
Yeah.
But in this, again, in the same respect, it just, you know, across the board, if you do that more with your employees, then you foster the environment for growth instead of just filling the role that you think should be filled. SOPs, I think there are a lot of places too that companies kind of don't have together, or they don't update regularly enough. So yeah, you'll have a new person come in and be doing an old method, and you're unaware of it because you're in, you know, your top tier, you're in the leadership role, but your bottom is kind of suffering from that. So making sure that you always have eyes on different things, that responsibilities are clear. When we had turbulence and my like company culture kind of shifted a little bit, when we brought in people that didn't understand the role or the expectation and weren't being supported right off the bat with it, because I was busy. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a recipe for disaster. So the second that I slowed down, I was like, hey, wait a second. Okay, so like, do you understand your role? Do you understand your deadlines? Do you understand the softwares even that we work with? Because I feel like a lot of times too, we throw people into positions and they've never worked with the CRM, or they've never worked with the project management software. And then there's that expectation that they'll just get it together. And that's not always the case. So kind of meeting them where they're at is important. That's a big, I'm a machine. So kind of humanizing myself down and being like, okay, everybody doesn't work 24 hours a day, Logan, you got to chill out. And then creating, creating a healthy environment where I'm always thinking about myself being in their shoes.
So it's a great quality to have as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, again, it took a lot too to get there. It doesn't just, it wasn't always like that. Like I've had my own character defects and I didn't even mean to start a company. So there's been times where I'm like, oh, I'm stressed and I'm a mess and I'm this and I'm that and we don't have this and, problem, problem, problem. I had a mentor be like, stop. Solutions. Talk about solutions. Like we already know what the problems are. Those are very clear as day. But what are the solutions? Like how do we move forward? So we across the board. I think that honestly that changed my life in general. Not even just my agency, but like overall, just me as a person. And I'm able to again reflect that with the people that I work with and tell them, start at the bottom of your pyramid, work your way up, talk to everyone, make sure you have a total understanding. Even if you don't have an understanding of the job that they do, make sure that they have the understanding and somebody else around them has it. And if that's not available or not done, then define it, figure out what you need and what they need to be doing. So it's clear and then they can feel confident.
And then how often do you have those one-on-ones with your team?
So every morning we meet as a team together and we go over, we split up the clients by days. Obviously we have a period of time where we talk about all clients, like or anything that's urgent or earth shattering, but from like 9 to 11, we talk specifically about, we have like time block time for the clients where we also complete work kind of as a group. And then we break off from 11 to 12 and I either have like 30 minute like one-on-ones, we'll take a walk around the block because we also have a small office. There's not a lot of privacy in here. It's this main room here, which is like a storefront. And then we have a hall and we have another like back office studio that has like sit-stand desks. Those are a godsend.
Interesting.
Especially, when you're in a room with no windows for, 8-9 hours a day, being able to like kind of change your environment a little bit. And that's also why we have a lot of greenery in here. So
yeah, that's awesome. I know I go for a run midday just to deal with that. And
are you working from home?
Pardon?
Are you working entirely from home or?
Yeah, I work entirely from my home office and I split my workout into two, like I'll do two short workouts. So I'll do like first thing in the morning and then mid-afternoon. And it's crazy how you get that second wind just from having that movement.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So where do you see Argon Agency in 5 years' time?
So we're doing kind of a slow, steady growth. I'm gearing up right now and obviously by, trying to network and bring on new opportunities like the one I have here with you.
Yes.
To position us for growth and for figuring out what the next step is. We're good and we're coasting and we're comfortable. And I would, I have probably 2 to 3 new clients a day contacting us. They're not all good fits. We don't take them all on, but we do take the projects that, we know we're going to be able to complete, passionately and that match, the needs that we have versus the needs that they have.
That's incredible.
That it's been crazy that happens organically. That's the magic there.
Yeah.
I'm honestly a little bit scared to try to, get a little bit deeper in. I feel like I need to have more of a sales team, that's just fully dedicated to client phone calls and to making sure that they're catered to. Right now we're in a boutique stage where everything's structured out. Everything has its deadlines that are set. We try to work ahead of deadlines by at least, 30 to 60 days. So we have the flexibility to pick up the phone when a client is like, hey, I just found this new thing. I want to check it out. I want to talk about it. I want to explore it. Or, hey, I need your help with something else. We do like IT support too, which is also random and different for marketing agencies.
Interesting. But
a lot of my clients have like their own call center. So we'll help them with their call tracking metrics and, getting their VG dialers set up and getting their, even if they have like remote call centers overseas, making sure that the call transferring is working properly. Sometimes like there's kinks in that. So, and when that happens, like I need to immediately be able to drop whatever I'm doing and like switch gears to like being able to help fix that. And usually it's a 5-minute fix, but, scaling is the hard part because I need to be able to keep that flexibility. So, in the next 5 years, hopefully there's an office upstairs. We're thinking about, also acquiring once it becomes available and that will be good because it'll give us some more space. I'm bringing on new team members that are passionate for different areas, but may not have the full skill set. So right now they're doing like training entirely just specifically under like best practices and what I do and what I've learned and what I know is most successful.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be a little bit different than going and hiring somebody who has, you know, years experience, but is stuck in their ways. So yeah. I'm still kind of testing out how that works. If that's the way to go, then we're going to keep doing that repetitively for each position until we, you know, reach max cap. And then we'll probably end up starting to market ourselves and see, you know, what we can bring in. So far, everything's been organic, and it's crazy because majority of the clients that we've had, we have, again, almost no turnover in clients. And any of the clients that have veered away from us, it's been temporary. Like, we had one leave for like 3 weeks and come right back. Okay. And then come back in a bigger package with more business and, you know, hey, by the way, I just started this too. Can you do marketing for that as well? So even the clients we currently have, they keep giving us more and more, or they have new ideas and they need, you know, help with something. And we, you know, we love being that support. So I want to keep that, that kind of going. I don't want to ever get to the place where like, we can't answer the phone or they're calling people they don't know or aren't familiar with. Cause that's also really disheartening when you have somebody that's literally putting together your livelihood. And we have a marketing agency. Marketing is one of the most important pieces to a business.
Yeah.
Which is also, again, funny why we don't even market ourselves. But I guess it's organic, but yeah. So essentially you have to have that connection with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of really exciting things in the pipeline. So I'm really excited for you guys.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I literally just read this book too, and it's about the Christie Auction House and this woman. I'm so sorry. I forget the name. I'm like completely blanking, but it's,
That's okay. We can go on to the next question. not a big deal.
We'll come back. I swear.
Yeah. Let me know what it is. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Awesome.
And what does your morning routine look like?
So my morning routine. So I have an 8-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had a son when I was 17, and I have him 50-50 with his dad. We have a great co-working, relationship. But yeah. Monday and Tuesday, I am mom. I am getting him ready for school and, you know, doing my routine there. Then I come home. I usually take about 20 minutes to myself to kind of meditate, just center myself, take my vitamins. And usually I run out of the house with no makeup. Makeup comes later in the day. and also hydration. Hydration is really, really important. First thing I do is try to, you know, chug a bottle of water.
Same.
I find myself throughout the day, especially when I'm busy or not drinking. So that's really important for the morning.
Yeah, same. I keep like a massive water bottle with me at most times of the day. So yeah, it's like so important.
Yeah, I've been on these smart waters that have the nootropics in them. This one has ashwagandha.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Is there a
CEO that you follow or study?
Oh, okay. So I actually have the pleasure of working with Ryan Zofe, who is his story is really incredible. He is the CEO of We Level Up, or actually I think he's just a founder. The CEO is actually Alexandra, who's also a very powerful woman. But yeah, I follow and keep up with them. He's big on Tony Robbins. I also love Tony Robbins.
I do too.
Grant Cardone, you know, you can't go wrong with a lot of the stuff that they go over. It's just, you know, sometimes when I need to like clear my mind, I'll put on one of their podcasts or talks, and although some of it's not relevant, there'll be a phrase or two in there, and I'm like, that's what I needed. That's right there on the money.
Yeah. They're always just really inspirational.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What is your favorite online tool?
So I love Teamwork. Teamwork helps with project management. They have a great mobile app as well. And then it just depends on the service too. So if we're talking about, you know, servicing a client, Mangools is great for keyword planning. You know, Canva is great for quick Photoshop there. There's a bunch of really great tools that I use regularly. And also I'll send those over to you too if you want to put those in the caption.
For sure. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Take it slow and bring that awareness. It took me a little bit of time and I'm still trying to perfect, you know, being present sometimes. So I think that if I went into it at a slower pace, pace yourself.
Interesting. I like that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Logan. It's been really great chatting with you.
The name of the book, sorry. The Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You. That's the name of the book.
Love that.
Lydia Fennett.
Okay, great to know.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I'm definitely going to read that.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.